Look at our scripture today. We apologize for it being a little bit dark on the screen. But our scripture today is from John chapter 15. And we're actually looking at verses 4 through 8. John 15, verses 4 through 8. Jesus tells us, "Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same," watch this, "brings forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If a man does not abide in me, he is cast away as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. In this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples." May God continue to bless the reading and the receiving of his word. You may be seated as we go to the Lord in prayer. Father, it is again that we thank you for this day. We thank you for your wonderful word. We thank you, Lord, that you've called us into fellowship with you. We're asking that you speak to our hearts at this hour. Help us to always be grateful. Help us to enjoy the fellowship that we have, Lord, of coming together and worshiping you as a corporate body. Lord, that you might receive the praise of all of us, and we can be a testimony and an encouragement to each other. I pray you'd bless now as we share your word. Speak through these lips of clay to the hearts of these your people and change us by what we hear, that, Lord, we might be changed for the good. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Well, did you have a good week? A lot of challenges, but God is still in control, and he's a wonderful Savior. He loves us. I want to just share with you that I know somebody that had a birthday on Friday, and I won't mention his name, but his initials are Reverend Givens. So anyway, he had a birthday on Friday, and certainly that was a blessing. We went out yesterday, had a little golf outing, and enjoying the fellowship. And we encourage you that find an activity that you can engage in. Why will you always keep your nose to the grindstone? The grindstone is going to be there. The problem's going to be there. You need to escape sometime and just to enjoy life. Amen? But let's look at this connection that we have with Christ Jesus. And what I want you to do is to check your connection. Check your connection. You know what it means when you have a problem with an electrical connection. That can be a serious matter. You know what it's like for you to have cell phone connection, right? Remember where you used to have to rely on the towers, and I guess you still do, that they would be in place so that if you're going through an area, you would have a good connection. Without that connection, your call would drop. So we understand the importance of connection. You have to check your family connections. People that you care about, if you don't talk to them, if you don't relate to them, then that connection is cut off. It does not mean that they don't exist. It means that you don't have the true fellowship and the benefit of knowing and spending time with them. When we talk about checking your connection that you have in Christ, we're not talking about your salvation. Salvation is what God does. So don't get us wrong. Don't get us wrong on that. Romans 8 and verse 38 and 39 says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Tribulation," he goes through all of the series, "death nor life, things present nor things to come. Nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God." But what we're talking about is not the separation from your salvation, but the separation from your fellowship with God and your fruitfulness in Christ. There, you can have that spiritual separation in your life. And all of this is a part of the blessings from the tree. Because a lot of us want to go to God and when we have a problem and to know that God would hear our prayer. God will answer our prayer and then give us the things that we need. The question that you and I have to ask, what does God expect of me and what am I giving God? If you're not giving him good fruit, if you're not bearing fruit, then something has happened to your connection. The second part of that blessing then is for us to be fruitful, for us to bear fruit. And when people look at it, they'll say, that looks like God working through that person in their life so that now I can receive some joy, I can receive some peace, I can receive some comfort as God works through them to be a blessing to others. Everybody still with me? That's the connection that you and I need with God. If you don't have that connection, not only is it a problem of where you don't have that fellowship and that fruitfulness, you could be connecting with something else. You could be spending time with something else. Remember Adam and Eve? Took their eyes off of God, off of what the Lord had given them, put their eyes on one tree. Of everything else they had in the garden, what became their center of attention and really their idol was the tree of knowledge. They stopped focusing on, well, this is what God has for me, and they turned to the thing that God commanded them, this is not for you. It can happen in our life. Your job, your family members, we just talked about it, things you want to do, your list of priorities can be the very things that will cause you to get disconnected from the fellowship with God. So two things you got to be aware of. What am I connecting to if it's not God? But then secondly, why am I separating myself from this wonderful fellowship that I have in Christ? We'll get to that in just a minute. Because a lot of people, when you get there, they think it's being religious. You know, why do I have to say hallelujah all the time? Well, and you don't, I mean, if you don't want to. But you do need to have this wonderful connection with God because he says, you can do nothing without me. It's not a single thing that you and I can do without God working in and through our lives. And here's the good part. When you start and when you get into that connection with God and God starts working through you, you say, wow, I didn't know that I had all of that. You didn't have all of that. God put it in you, and then God started bringing it out of you. Jesus did not just come to be our Lord and Savior. He came also to show us how this thing of living in the flesh should be really done. He came to show us, this is how you walk. If you want to walk, walk with me. I'll show you how to be fruitful, and I'll show you how to be productive. Everybody still with me? All right, look at somebody. Talk to them the first time and tell them, check your connection. Now, how do you become spiritually disconnected from God? What is it that causes that spiritual separation? First thing on the list, disobedience. Disobedience. God tells you one thing and you do another. Disobedience can cause that spiritual separation from God. Jesus said this, and I don't think he put it out there as an option. You can do this if you want to. He said emphatically, keep my commandments. Keep my commandments. Now be aware of this. This is the same God that set Mount Sinai on fire and gave the commandments to Moses so that when Moses came down, his face shined. He had these 10 commands, and there they were. These 10 commands, and the children of Israel took them as options. But this is the same God that punished them because they did not keep his commands. Now you don't have God of the flaming fire. You have Jesus, the Lord of comfort. You have Jesus, the Lord of grace, who's come down and said, now look, all I want you to do, keep my command. What's my command? Love. If you love me, if you love others, you're going to do just fine. You're going to be all right. You're going to bear some wonderful fruit. We'll get into that in just a minute. We get into problems like a little kid at a mall, and the parents will tell them, hold my hand. And what do they want to do? They want to break free. They know, I see this in the window. Next thing you know, you have this separation because the child did not obey. Now, do the parents still have a child? Yeah, you just don't know where they are, and you don't know what danger they're in because of that separation. The same thing can happen with you and I. And here comes God calling us. Where are you? What did you do? Where did you go? I wanted you to be here. You're no longer there. Now, here's how the connection is. Jesus said, I'm the vine. I'm the true vine. You're never going to find anything else. Now, Israel was a vine, but they were not the true vine because they were not true to God. Jeremiah brings that out, that they were the vine that the Lord had planted. And how in the world did they become this deceptive, this plant that could not produce fruit? But that's what Israel had done. Now you have Christ representing the true vine. And not only did he come to connect Israel with God through restoration, but he came to connect sinners, Gentiles, unbelievers with God through this rebirth and being born into the family of God. This is an amazing thing that God has done here. Now, I want you to sit back and think about this Selah moment. It's because you now, because of Christ, have God in you. You've got God in you. Look at somebody, tell them again, check your connection. You've got an amazing God who's come to not only be a part of your life, but he's come to be your life. When you're connected with the vine, your life that you now have is through Jesus, through Christ, who will give you everything if you stay connected. Look at it. He says now, look at this. He says, if you ask anything, and people say, anything? What if you connected with him? The only thing that you're going to ask would be the things that are right, the things that are lovely, the things that are pure, the things that are of a good report. That's the only thing that you're going to ask. If you're disconnected, yeah, you're going to ask for everything. Lord, let me win the lottery. Lord, just go over there and do something with my neighbors. That's the wrong connection. So spiritual separation can come about through disobedience. It can come about through distractions. Something else getting our attention other than God. How do you prevent these distractions from coming in? Your cell phone can be a great distraction to you. People looking at their cell phone and at the same time trying to drive a car. Tell me how that's done. And I'm trying to hurry up and get there. And people weaving and bobbing. But again, if we look at the distractions and the things that are in this world, it'll grab your attention, steal your joy, rob you of the things that God would want you to have because you've been distracted. You thought that what you saw, what you heard, was more important than what God gave you. When you recognize how powerful he is, how wonderful this God is, think about it. He made the universe. He made the heavens and the earth. Everything that you see and everything that you can even just if they had a telescope, then they're discovering now the amazing things about God. All of this God has given to us. But watch this. The thing that he wants to give us even more is himself. He loves you enough that even though he has all of these great and huge things that he does and he maintains, he wants to have personal fellowship with you and with me. And you ask, why? Because he wants his life to thrive in you. The Greeks tried to get a grasp of it, and they would call it Zoe. They had these heroes like Hercules and all of these other mythological creatures and beings, and they would look real weird, and they'd have all this. God doesn't want to make you weird. He wants to make you right. He wants you to have this unbroken fellowship with him. And when something else comes in, I can't blame it on the devil. Notice I didn't talk about the devil, because a lot of time it's not the devil out there, it's the devil in me. That is trying to come in and steal us of this joy. Disobedience, distractions, then there's one other thing that we have to look at when we talk about spiritual separation, and that's denial. Oh, no, no, pastors, no, 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 not me. No, no. I remember another guy said that. I remember that he talked about it. They were having this meal, and Jesus was, he was sharing with them in the Last Supper, and, oh, no, no, me? Lord, I'd die for you. A couple of hours later, you were with Jesus. Don't know him. Don't never met him. Don't know him. Took an oath and said, never knew him. And then when he caught the eyes of Jesus and he looked around, the Bible said that Peter tucked his head, went out, and he wept because he had denied the one that he knew was everything to him. We can do it. I'd never deny God. Well, you know, some people have problems denying Christ when they go by the ABC store. I'm just saying. The Lord said, you don't need to go there. You've been delivered. No, not this time. I got to go in. Some people deny Christ. I don't have a problem with not playing the lottery. I lost $2 in a poker game one time, and I said to myself, this is not for me. Some people have gambling problems, right? Some people have other sin issues in their life. And every time those things come in, you are denying, you're saying, I don't want Christ right now because I've got something else that's grabbing my attention. And if you say it can't happen to you, I would venture to ask you to look out because the devil knows what you've just said and he's going to test you in that area. But here's the good news. People say, I'm struggling. I'm trying to make. It's not up to you to keep yourself in Christ. All he says, abide with me. Abide in me. If you abide in me and I in you, you'll bring forth much fruit. I found out that the greatest cause of my struggle was that I want to be super Christian. I wanted to be the one. Lord, I'm going to show you I can live for you. Fall flat on my face every time. But when I said, Lord, help me check my connection. Amen. How do you check it? Get in God's word. Amen. And when God's word starts to speak to you, start praying, Lord, fix that. Help me to work in this area. Help move in this area. And the next thing you know, God is doing these amazing things to you. Hand clap right there. Because he could have said, you know what? I'm going to leave you the way you are. But we are so blessed that it's Christ that works in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Now I want to ask you a question. What in the world do you think you could be if you kept your connection in Christ? Well, preacher, I don't know. I don't want him living at my house 24/7. I'll build him a church and I'll come there once a week. Let me ask this question now. If that's the way you think, and I know a lot of times you say, I like to go out on Saturday night. You know, I like to cut a step, and I like to, you know, I like to do stuff, and I don't want God sitting right beside me because, I don't know, I can't have fun. All right. Is that what you're thinking? Let me put it to you this way. Try getting your next breath without Christ. Try getting your next heartbeat without Christ. You need him for everything. You need him in your life. And the things you think you need, you know, you really can live without that. You know, when I was growing up, I used to try to be, a good sinner. You know, I didn't just turn up the Pabst Blue Ribbon. I had a little glass in my car that I carry around with me, and I'd pour it in that, and then I, you know, would drink. Try to be a civilized sinner, right? I used to dress up in three-piece suits and drink my beer, yes, because I was civilized as a sinner. So one night at the pool hall, while I was civilized as a sinner, I had one too many Pabst Blue Ribbons. Next thing I know, I heard this thump on the floor. What in the world is going on here? So I look up and, why are these people walking upside down in here? Then I recognize in my civilized sinner state, being disconnected, not knowing Christ, I was laying in the middle of the floor, flat on my back, looking like a fool. That's where Satan wants you. But where God wants you is to be connected to this wonderful vine that is bearing fruit, that is being productive, that is doing great things for the glory of God. That's where God wants you. Now, the question is, you choose. Which connection do you want? Where are you really having the good time? The only good time that you're going to really have, the great time that you're going to have, is in Christ. Let me just share a few things with you. Where's the evidence? Where's the evidence that you have this connection with Christ? And we're going to close with that. First of all, the evidence is in the fruit. You've got to have proof of your connection. People say, I'm connected with Christ. Show me your fruit. And he tells you what the fruit is in Galatians chapter 5. He says, now the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, faith, meekness. Now get this. You're not the one that says, oh yeah, I'm going to squeeze out this. I never knew an apple to grow itself. And I talked about apple trees. I've gotten up apple trees, but I've never yet met an apple that could grow itself. Amen. It always had to be connected with that branch. Amen. Here is Jesus saying not only to the disciples of that day, but the disciples of this day, you can bear this fruit. If you stay connected with me, if you are obedient rather than being disobedient, if you confess me rather than denying me, if you don't get distracted by the things of this world, I am going to produce. As a matter of fact, I'm not just going to produce a little fruit. I'm going to produce a lot of fruit through you. People will look at your life. They will start examining, is this good fruit? Oh, yeah, I taste the joy. Oh, yeah, I taste this peace, this faith that they have. People will watch you, and they will recognize you've been with God, haven't you? You've walked with God. You've had fellowship with God. If we cannot demonstrate the fruit, ladies and gentlemen, we're deceiving ourselves. We can say, I go to this church, this wonderful place called Crossroad, but if you can't produce some fruit, what good would it be to say, I go to church? You've got to have the fruit of the Spirit. And with God in you, his presence, his power, his promises, with God in you, God says, I guarantee you, I feel like an old-time preacher, I guarantee you that you will bear much fruit. You will flourish. You will flourish. You will flourish because of this. Paul just wasn't putting out there a pipe dream for you and me. This is what God wants to see daily. This is what he wants to go. Yeah, that's my child right there. Remember what Jesus said? You confess me, I'll confess you. And his confession is, that's my child. He did it for Job. He said, that's Job. That man is a faithful man. He did it for Abraham. That's my friend. He did it for David, man after my own heart. Now, what is God saying about you and me? You fruitful child of God, you. God is saying, you can do this. You can bear this fruit, but you got to check your connection. Secondly, you've got to look at the fact of whether or not you're abiding in the vine. Abiding in, he says this, abide in me. 24/7. You know, you've got to make sure that connection is maintained by abiding in Christ. Love what he loves. Desire the things that God wants for your life. I don't know whether you check your mirror lately. Mirror, mirror on the wall, am I as young as I used to be? Your mirror gonna tell you the truth. You can go out and get you some Miss Clairol and Cover Girl and all of this. And guys, you can go and get that, Grecian and kind of, you know, go over and make sure, oh yeah, I still got it. You ain't. Check your connection. Jesus said, abide in me and I in you as the branch. Now you're not the vine. Don't confuse that. Don't ever start saying to yourself, well, I'm a spiritual giant. No, you're not. You're weak. You're broken without him. And unless you have that fellowship with him, you can do nothing. He says it a couple of times in these verses. You can't do anything without me. You parents know when your kids want to tell you, I'm 15 now. I'm 21 now. But wait a minute. And my mom used to tell me plenty of times, I brought you in this world. I can take you out of here. You know, and it's one thing to be a child and then to brag as if we don't need the parent. And in God, you never grow up to the point where you don't need him. Somebody needed him this morning when you got out of your bed. Amen, somebody. You know, the devil thought you wasn't going to make it, but here you are in the house of God, giving God glory because you know that he is worthy of all praise. And what Jesus said, abide in me. Abide in me. Now, the amazing part is not what I got to do to abide with him, but why in the world would he want to spend time with me? People say he saw something in me. No, he saw what I needed. Amen. He looked beyond my fault and saw what I needed. Amen. That's why I want to abide in him, because he's the kind of gracious God that knows every flaw. You think the devil knows your weakness. God knows everything about you. Amen. He counts the heartbeats that you will have every day. He looks at your hair and says, I know every number of them. He looks at the cells in your body and says, yeah, I'm going to maintain every one of them. That's God. Amen. Oh, help me, Holy Ghost. That's God. And so the amazing thing is he spends time with us, not that I spend time with him. He's the one that says, I'll walk with you if you walk with me. I'll talk with you if you listen to me. I'll go with you. And God, this amazing God that could have gone to Elijah and terrorized him with the fire. He could have terrorized him with the earthquake. He could have terrorized him with the thunder. But instead, he came to him in a still, small voice saying, Elijah, here I am. What are you doing here? You got to listen. You got to pay attention. Abide in him. Then lastly, is that he wants you to bear fruit, watch this, that remains. Okay, now, we're grocery shopping, right? You're going to go over there to the fruit counter, you're going to look at some fruit, and you're going to look at the salads, because I eat a lot of salads, right? And you're going to look at this thing called an expiration date. Yes. You don't want it if it's close to the expiration date, right? No, don't want to put it in your basket. Even canned food that you thought could last forever, right?
Yes.
So this food now has an expiration date. What am I saying? The fruit that you're going to produce, the fruit that I'm going to produce, does not have an expiration date. Are y'all in the house with me? In other words, when God allows this fruit to be produced in your life, it says your fruit should remain. I'm not going to rot. I'm not going to dry out. I'm not going to be like a grape and turn into a raisin. Look at somebody, tell them good fruit, good fruit, good fruit, because you will be remaining, because who you're connected to will always be strong. And what you got to do is to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. That's how you produce this fruit of God. I'm not out of sermon, but I'm out of time. But if you just clap your hands and tell somebody this last time, check your connection. Check your connection, because it's in Christ. It's in Christ. Father, we thank you. You didn't have to choose us. As a matter of fact, Lord, the disciples were thinking they chose to follow you. And you had to remind them, you didn't choose me. I chose you. And I've ordained that you would bring forth much fruit and that your fruit should remain. That's what you want of our lives. Father, forgive us for being disobedient. Forgive us for being distracted, just like Peter on the water. Rather than looking at you, we're looking at everything else. And Father, forgive us, because we want to have this unbroken fellowship with you and to bear much fruit. The world needs it. The world is craving for people with good fruit. And Lord, I pray that through your grace and mercy, we would be that people for such a time as this. I ask it in Jesus' name and for his glory. And all the believers said, amen. Well, we want to give you an opportunity. If you've never confessed Christ as your Lord and Savior, we talked about being fruitful, but you've got to maintain that connection. In order to get that connection, you've got to surrender your life to him. God doesn't want half of you, a fourth of you, or one day out of your life. He wants your entire life because he knows what you need and he knows your potential. So if you trust him today, he'll be your God and he'll be your Savior. The invitation is given. If there's one without a church home and you need a church family, we'd love to have you here at Crossroads. May we all stand.